Blog Talk Radio.
It is September 25th, 2016, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America on Sunday. My name is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself, Grant?
I'm just doing fine. As can be.
That's good. I'm happy to hear that, I guess.
Yes, I'm glad that you're happy to hear that.
And so, what's going on?
Well, yeah,
we're
doing a show, right?
Are we going to do the silent show tonight?
Oh, yes, I guess pregnant pauses don't work in terms of radio, or they can't see you, correct?
I think that might be a problem.
All right, each week we try to cover some ground here. We're not really sure what soil we're upon, but we're covering ground, right?
Very funny.
Thank you.
Very, very funny.
I appreciate that. I was quite a punster when I was in school, why I got in trouble all the time. I would hear a buzzword and I'd make a joke out of it. What? Hello?
I said, uh-huh.
Pardon me?
Uh-huh, right.
The great enlightenment, the aha. Their landmark education, appreciate that. Regression therapies, when they do the big aha. All right, so the ground we cover each week is the platform of the international bankruptcy of 1930. For all of you that decide to fall asleep and not listen to the show any longer, I truly apologize.
Okay.
Yes, I apologize profusely. That means with all my heart.
I think probably,
that's probably
most
a heartening to hear,
what
right?
Means.
Is
what?
That heartening to hear? What?
Yes, mighty heartening. Not just heartening, but mighty heartening.
Ah, mighty heartening. Would that be adverbial in terms of heartening as an adjective?
I suppose so. It's very adverbial.
So I apologize for laughing when we're talking about some real serious business with the bankruptcy, right?
Uh-huh.
However, we've noticed over the course of time and through the years that the bankruptcy is kind of a joke, right? When you get right down to it.
I guess so, because it doesn't seem to mean anything as far as what's happening with the economy. It doesn't really seem to affect it one way or the other.
I can't hear you very well. It's also making that little cricket noise.
There's a cricket. Yeah, I adopted a pet
Jimmy
cricket, and I named him Jimmy.
Oh, I see. You have this silly Bluetooth on. No, I have earphones.
Oh.
Bluetooth volume is... No matter how much you pay on a Bluetooth, the volumes really are bad.
Okay.
The technology is not good on it. I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
There you have
Excuse
it,
me?
Folks. There you have it, folks.
Yeah, I guess we're going to hear that. Hopefully that cricket noise won't show up on the archives. We can only hope, right?
I hope not. Because we didn't invite any crickets to the show tonight.
Well, they've shown up at least so I can hear it. All right.
You hear it now?
No. I'll let you know if I hear it. Yeah, I hear it just then. I don't know what that is. Some kind of weird feedback.
Jimmy just went to sleep. Jimmy just closed his
Pardon?
Eyes and went to sleep, so he's not chirping
well,
anymore.
Well, he's still moving his legs, making the sound.
And I can't hear him.
The crickets are
I
very
think it's on your end.
Animals. Oh,
I think
it
it's
is?
Your,
I
on your end.
I don't
well,
know.
Well,
I don't
Maybe
know.
There's a cricket
like I said,
in the audience.
I apologize for the I do apologize for the technical difficulty if it exists. So highly speculative in terms of it shows up on the recording. All right, having said all that, what we cover each week, or attempt to, and maybe you don't get to all the time, and be it as it may, I think we do some interesting information, core information, as we call it. So we cover the ideas of health, sovereignty, solvency, and Afi and Cheto. And we'll go with Afi and Cheto because that's the appears to be a foreign word, and it is Latin for the elimination of the pawn in chess, meaning the pawn is expendable. So the word really means expendability, Afi and Cheto. And therefore, we say that no one's expendable in terms of the bankruptcy. And that means that every single human being shouldn't be considered expendable. I'll use that term.
Okay.
And
that
means, right, in terms of economic demolition, you can get rid of the buildings but evacuate. So they don't reveal the evacuation issue because they don't want to reveal the economic demolition idea, that they have to tear down buildings and what have you because of the issues of not turning a profit. That's the problem. If it's not turning a profit, then the asset has to go. But if humans are in the way, they have to go too. And my opinion is that's not true. You need to declare an evacuation so they can leave the premises so that they can get rid of the asset. And not meaning the human being an asset, for all those people who watch the Bourne Identity and all the Bourne movies, when they declare these Manchurian candidates an asset. I don't mean that human asset. And even in reference to the human being, a walk-around building with the Simpson versus Erie Canal in 1939, where that particular court case declared the human didn't have a contract with the Erie Railroad, and declaring that as a kind of a walk-around building, the human being became an asset. A trust corpus, and you would actually put that asset into a trust. So the human being was not separate from assets with that declaration in the court case. So they had their case in terms of pretty much declaring a non-sovereignty issue. That's like the Cescave Trust of the courtrooms, is those declarations of people being dead, but what they really meant was, this is in 1666, that really wasn't the declaration being dead, it was declaration of the fact that they weren't sovereign, meaning they had no say, a voice in the matter, and virtually they were dead. Without your voice, you're pretty much dead anyway. So the people need to learn how to speak and have conversational skills, especially in the West over here. I was talking to some Irish people yesterday, and I asked them how they liked America. They'd been here a few years, and they hesitated, and I said, what's that about? And they said, well, Americans don't have lengthy conversations. They're always in a big rush. I said, well, that's just immaturity. They need about 300 years of seasoning, and that doesn't mean necessarily salt and pepper. All right. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Boom, boom. Right. Thank you.
I'll do the noise.
I get around. Yeah. Ba-dum, bum, right? I get around to the jokes eventually.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little serious this week. I truly apologize. I must have SD, right? Serious disease.
Yes, I guess you do.
Yeah, last week I was pretty zany from the start. That doesn't mean there aren't some jokes and good laughs on this. Like I said, how can the bankruptcy be a joke? Because it is a joke, because we don't have a proper mathematics to measure it by. We have approximate mathematics, which is the reason why we have bankruptcies, because they can't really measure it properly. So we end up being in the red on the ledger, okay? In the bookkeeping ledger, we end up being in the red, and then therefore we owe the bank. We're not in banking equilibrium. The account's not balanced, therefore we declare a bankruptcy. And that happened in 1930, and we've had it ever since. Because the proof is best evidence in terms of the dollar bill. If we look at that, it's called the Federal Reserve Note, which is a debt instrument. And therefore, that's the best evidence that we are in an international bankruptcy. And they say, well, how could the dollar is an American dollar? What does that have to do with other countries? And the reason it has a relationship with other countries is because the dollar is the international peg for trading. That means all of the currencies need to be converted to dollars in order to trade them in bank trading. And that's how businesses, government make profits, because they have to convert their money that they have to trade it to make profits in the trade. So that's how the money is created, because it's not created by the governments. Unbeknownst to Zeitgeist, they did a documentary several years ago. They did pretty good in terms of the historical reference, but when they got down to the monetary thing, they blew that completely. They got my territory, and they were mine. Big mistake. So the government doesn't create money, folks. They actually are the recipients of it from the banks, and then they coin things. They engrave it and coin money, but they don't create it. You see where they get the mix up there, Gabriella? Since they coin it and engrave it, they people think they make it. But no, the check is given to the government to create it. They call it bonds and what have you, bond issues. But they're really medium-term notes that the government's given, and then they're allowed to engrave money and coin it by virtue of the banks allowing that. So that they make a mistake there because they don't have the inside track like I do in terms of how things are. And that's why the populace is subject to the person at the podium blathering on about things if they don't make them accountable and investigate it. And they usually don't investigate things. They just take it at piecemeal value at that moment in time, and they believe everything. Now, we were talking to some people tonight about that. There was an elderly lady I was talking to that says she really reacts to these people that come at her with an authority view, you see what I mean? And therefore, they believe it. They don't do their own investigation because they don't have time. So they believe in the people that are the voices, they believe in the voices of the irresponsible ones that are unaccountable. And I have a problem with that, too, in reference to questioning certain information that is declared vis-a-vis the answer to things. Here's the explanation, and there's no other answers, and then we have to go time out because we have relativity, and then you're explaining something to me without being responsible for it. And that's a big issue. It really is, from all the way from school teachers to parents or anybody that's going to declare some sort of treatise as an answer without it being questioned. And that's a problem. But we have a problem internationally because the pseudo-authorities don't want people to question things. They just want to roll over and play dead. But not really. I think, as some people I know that have made some inroads to the educational part of it, that they start paying attention at some point. If you stay with it, it's going to break eventually. You know, if you keep chopping at the tree in little bits, eventually you're going to chop the tree down. So sometimes it's gradually, and sometimes it's a instantaneous, sudden break. Like at the point where the tree is felled by the last chop, then there's a sudden experience of it crashing to the ground. Oh, I like that. Thank you.
Right.
You like that?
I commend you.
I wasn't using any innuendo at all, or inundo,
okay.
Right, from Philadelphia Story.
Okay. Yes, that was a funny movie for anyone who's ever seen it or would like to see it.
Little child in the Philadelphia Story. I was reading an article about her sister, and they said it was filled with inundo, which is innuendo.
Catherine Hepburn and Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, but remember, people don't know those people anymore nowadays. Young people don't know who Catherine Hepburn is, albeit Western cultural literacy will have Catherine Hepburn listed, knowing if you're not culturally literate, if you don't know who Katharine Hepburn is. So all you young people out there listening to the archive, if you don't know who Katharine Hepburn is, put that on your list of looking up definitions. Otherwise, you're not culturally literate.
That's right.
I'm sorry, was that cultural propaganda? I see.
I think it was
cultural subjectivity. Pardon me?
I think it was cultural subjectivity.
Oh, subjectivity. Does that have something to do with the subject?
It could, if you wanted to.
Well, I hope so. In terms of it being a self-identity. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Oh, you want to define subjectivity for those dunders out there that don't understand? Boy, listen to that. That was a screechy noise.
But I don't know. I think you've probably got a herd or a gaggle. I don't know what they call a group of crickets, a team of crickets hanging on the line. Wait, they're actually applauding you. They're rubbing their legs together, applauding you because they're very interested in the show. They've been wanting to listen to the show for quite some time. They're particularly interested in knowing if crickets have sovereignty. So maybe you could answer that question for them.
I see. Well, those facetious things, albeit maybe the crickets are the ones that are my only audience. Maybe I'll answer that question in terms of cricket sovereignty. So now we can name the description of the show Cricket Sovereignty, right? So instead of having the T word sovereignty or proper sovereignty as they use, I'll put Cricket Sovereignty, correct?
That's right, Cricket Sovereignty.
Yes. Well, anybody that asks for sovereignty, the cricket can ask for sovereignty, we'll give it to them. So if we can decipher cricket language, I mean, they're doing it with cats, aren't they getting... The cat language, they're starting to codify that business. It's really a real waste of time in terms of zoological studies. Anthropological zoology. What?
You read this someplace? They're codifying the cat sounds?
Yeah, there's something going on about that. So maybe they should do cricket sovereignty also, or cricket's codification of their language set.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. Maybe they should start codifying the human
language
first.
Or cat language. Which one, cricket or cat?
Maybe they should start codifying the human language first, since a lot of people don't understand each other.
Well done. Very good. Well, there are codification is a dictionary. They've already done that. So I don't know what you mean by that.
I know.
I'm just kidding about the fact that.
Yeah.
Well, the facetiousness is really people don't study what's already coded anyway. So that's why they don't know the language, because they don't study what they already have. Let's put it that way. It's been codified, but then you create the water, but you can't get the horse to drink it, or leading them to the trough, right?
That's true.
All right. Well, I'm out of gas. See you later. Bye.
We still
have some time.
You're not on fire.
What do you mean you can tell? I apologize. You know, totally. What?
Well, you had a pretty busy weekend.
Well, you know, I'm kidding. You know, I have to fill up another 11 minutes.
I do know that.
Oh,
I know what?
That I'm kidding.
Well, we could talk about the health plank tonight a little bit. Why don't we do that?
Well, sure, you can do that if you want. We know that. We talk about the raw veganism, and I don't want people to go to sleep on that, because we also talk about, go ahead.
I mean, you and I have been raw vegans for 10 years now, and it seems like we're always enhancing the diet or honing the diet is rather what I would like to say. So we're actually honing the diet all the time. So we've been in this for 10 years, and we're still finding ways to do it better. But the perplexity, now, I recommend raw veganism to everyone because it's really the healthiest way to be, because it will eliminate many illnesses and aches and pains, and I think it does bring longevity and rejuvenate people. But I do want to say this, that there are so many camps in the raw vegan field. There are so many people that do it one way and another way. It's kind of difficult, I think, for people first getting on to trying it out to figure out what's the best way for them to start.
Right.
Do you have any recommendations?
To me, keeping it basic, the complexity gets into having done it a while and all the ins and outs of the situation or the different variables, I'll say, of the complexity of it. And that's why, as you know, I usually start out with talking about water and hydration issue. So because that's easy. It's easy to measure water. But then the side effect is that the consistent urination idea. And then I always say, well, your body will adjust a bit. But then, you know, I still get up two or three times a night, maybe two lately. And I drink about 200 ounces of water every day. And people say, well, that's a lot. I weigh maybe 165. So I'm really drinking 35 ounces over the minimum requirement. But in my situation, because I'm a long-distance runner, I need that minimum amount of 200 ounces so I won't show symptoms on the track. Symptoms mean soreness in the ankle, knee, and hip area, which are the moving parts of a runner, obviously. Whereas
right.
Your upper body is for balance. There's a motion of your arms and elbows, but they don't get the high impact on the ground. And then there's that discussion about high impact and low impact, which I'd like to go into for a minute or two, because years ago I sent out a question on answers.com to journeyman runners only, asking them if high impact or running on cement or something of that nature, hard surfaces, is hard on the skeletal structure. And that was the question. I said, please only journeyman runners answer this question. So what I got back was about 20 different answers. It was brilliant because the distillation of the whole thing was two criteria. One, if you're running and you feel soreness in one of those body movement areas in the ankle, hip, or knee area, that if there's a soreness and it doesn't go away, say, in one lap around the track, which is 400 meters, if it doesn't go away, then you're injured and you need to stop. Right now, in the past 9 years, I've had to stop maybe 8 times, and each time I did when I was injured, I ran the next day, so I recovered overnight, and that is a testament to the raw vegan, nutritionally, that my body is a pretty fast healer most of the time. Sometimes things linger. I had a knee issue last month, and I was on and off for about 3 weeks. I took 6 days off one time to try to rest it. It worked. I recovered, and I'm fine. So sometimes I recover overnight, and then something lingers at certain times. It just depends on, it was mostly a dehydration problem, because even though I'll drink 200 ounces every day, I probably should do more because of issues like that in the past. So you learn about your own bodily situation with reference to, I would say, longevity. And that's a long, lengthy discussion, too. Maybe you'd like to talk about the health issues of longevity.
Well, I think there's a lot of factors that go into longevity. So one is, we're not old enough, you and I are not old enough to say we've achieved it yet, so we may not be credible to people, but that's what we're working towards. So one of the ways we're doing that, of course, is through eating raw vegan, which we've done for 10 years. Secondly, we believe in hydration, mega hydration, as you're talking about. Thirdly, we believe in exercise, and we believe that good health is 80% what you eat and 20% exercise. And the fourth part of that is we really believe that a person needs to do some kind of introspection, whether it's a meditation, contemplation exercise, or some kind of quiet prayer each day, because they need to
get away from the noisy industrial complex and balance themselves out, because the noise, the noise pollution is so wearing much. It does so much wear and tear on the human body. People don't realize it, but they're aging and getting ill because of all the noise pollution. It's actually creating knots in the muscles because the body tenses up in different areas. And people have no idea. It's just like I was at a function yesterday that was supposed to be a Celtic festival. And normally I'm in a small, one of the smaller locations, tents, where they have just the troubadours singing, and it's pretty mild stuff. But a friend wanted to hear some different groups in this larger stage, and the speakers were enormous, and it was more like raucous music. They said it was Celtic rock, but it didn't sound very Celtic to me. And the music just tore through my solar plexus. I'm seriously, this sounds very strange, but it reverberated through my solar plexus, and I felt ill. I couldn't listen to it. And I could feel it destroying my body, and I had to get out of there. And I said to my friend, you know, I'll be outside when you want to come out. And she wanted to stay, so she stayed. But she didn't realize what it does to the body. But she's also had a lot of health problems lately, and I don't think she's even considered the factor that noise pollution might be part of it for her, as well as her diet's not raw vegan, so she has problems because of that. So longevity, I think, can be achieved if we really work at it. Now, I don't live in an area that's completely salubrious, so my goal is to move out of where I am now and get into a really quiet setting someplace so that I don't have to listen to lots of traffic and noise that are going on. And even though it seems quiet enough in the house, things are still happening outside, and you still get a little bit of noise from that. So the best thing to do is just move away from all of it as much as you can. And so that's something important. That's why, people that do have longevity in other countries, they're usually living out in the mountains or the desert or forest someplace. They're away from civilization. So there's really a lot that goes into longevity, and all of it has to be practiced. And I'm not perfect at getting all of these things done yet, except that I am a vegan. I do make it hydrate. I do exercise regularly. Like, as we talked about, I run probably, 20, 25 miles a week, sometimes more. I have a good week. And so I'm doing, and I do some yoga and some other exercises in addition to that, to do as much as I can to keep myself in good shape and keep myself healthy. So I think no matter where you are in life, whether you're young or old, you can start. It might be a little bit harder when you're older and you start out trying to reverse things, but I truly believe anything can be done if you really want to accomplish it. And a lot of it has to do with your attitude and what you're willing to try to accomplish and how positive you feel about things. So longevity has to do with whether you want to live or not. Are you there?
Right.
Did I take too much time?
No, you did fine. But we're getting down to the last minute and a half, so I want to thank you for your commentary. I really appreciate that a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just thought I heard you went, shh. I thought I heard you make a noise like, shh, when she's finishing. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't do that at all. So I want to thank the journeymen that come on each week. I appreciate your listening participation, and thank the new people that have come on each week. And we have many shows in the archives. Please avail yourselves of that. And so have a great week, and hopefully it will be the best week of all and the coming weeks as well. This is Grantham Taylor Hughes from my show. Take care of them. Goodbye for now.